Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to this Friday edition of our broadcast. It's great to have you with me today as we wrap up this entire series that we've been doing on what is truth. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time. You know, I had an experience once where I was in a trainer for jet pilots. We were actually in an airplane, and at one point, the instructor pushed a button, and black shields went over the windshield of the jet. The student pilot who was flying the plane suddenly couldn't see out the windows. The instructor kind of spun the plane around, moved it at different angles, and then asked me, "How do you think we're flying?" And I told him what I thought, that we were at a certain angle, but we were basically upright. When he pushed the button and opened the windows, we were flying upside down. In other words, my physical senses were not adequate to know how the plane ought to fly. And this is exactly the way it is with God's truth. We need God's truth so we can fulfill achieve the goals that we're meant to achieve. In other words, to use Derek's terms, our response to truth actually determines our destiny. So many of us are flying by what we feel, we're flying by what we think, but it's actually the way we orient ourselves to God's truth. In the same way that a good pilot orients himself to his instrument panel, that's really going to determine whether we fulfill our destiny or not. And this is what Derek's going to be teaching us about today as he brings into grand conclusion this marvelous teaching called What is Truth? Let's listen.
In our previous studies this week, we've looked successively at what I called the three coordinates of truth. First, Jesus. Second, the Scripture. And third, the Holy Spirit. And I've pointed out that we need to have all three in relationship one with another. There are people today who are preaching a version of Jesus which is not scriptural, what Paul calls another Jesus. So when we hear preaching about Jesus, we need to check it with the Scripture. And then there are people who quote a lot of scripture, but their motives are not pure. They are motivated by lust or by desire to exploit people for financial gain or by personal ambition. And we find that though they quote a lot of scripture and maybe talk a lot about Jesus, the Holy Spirit doesn't rest upon it. The Holy Spirit in us doesn't respond to that type of presentation. So we have to have all three coordinates relate to them all. And when we have those three together in agreement, then we know here is the truth. We can trust it. We can lay hold of it. We can walk in it. Let me just state those three coordinates again. Jesus, the Scripture, the Holy Spirit. In my final talk on this theme today, I'm going to deal with an issue of the utmost importance to every one of us. How shall we respond to the truth? And I want to say this, our response to the truth will determine our destiny. It's not a little question. It's a question of the most vital and indeed eternal importance for every one of us. How will we respond to the truth when we are confronted with it? I want to say we cannot afford to do what Pilate did. You remember what Pilate did? He asked, "What is truth?" And then he sent for a basin of water and washed his hands and said, "This is not my responsibility. Somebody else's responsibility." But he didn't get away with that. He was not exonerated by merely washing his hands in public. We cannot compromise. We have to respond one way or the other. There's no neutrality left when we're really confronted with the truth. So in this talk today, I'm going to share with you another solemn warning against deception, which is found in the New Testament. This is found in the writings of Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. This is what Paul says, and you'll see it's a very solemn, serious warning against deception. He says this, "For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Those are solemn words. I want to point out certain important conclusions that emerge. First of all, Satan can produce counterfeit miracles. The coming of the lawless one, Paul says, will be in accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles. The mere fact that we are confronted by miracles, by the supernatural, does not guarantee that we're confronted by the truth. We have to have the three coordinates that I've spoken about. Second, and very, very important and basic, Satan's deceptions do not restrain lawlessness. He's the lawless one. He performs counterfeit miracles, but they're out of lawlessness. They're not out of righteousness and holiness. So when we're confronted with something that may be supernatural, that may be a very powerful sounding presentation, we have to ask ourselves, what does it do in me? Does it restrain lawlessness? Does it bring my life into submission to the requirements of God, the requirements of righteousness and holiness? Does it make me a better servant of the Lord, a better servant of my fellow human beings? Is it producing in me love for God and love for my fellow man, which are the real objectives of the true Christian faith? If not, even though there's much that's miraculous, the evidence is that it's not really the work of God or of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. Wherever he is at work and allowed to have his way, the result will be increasing holiness in our lives, not lawlessness. So bear that in mind. One of the ways we can test things is, how do they affect the kind of way we live? Are they making us more righteous and more holy?
I want to reemphasize something that Derek said, which really ought to live in our minds and hearts, not just today, but through this weekend and for the rest of our lives. We cannot remain neutral when it comes to truth. Truth demands a response. We cannot compromise. We cannot be cowards. We cannot retreat. Truth forces action. What kind of action are you going to take on the basis of the truth that you know? There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
It's possible to call yourself a Christian, but never really know Jesus in a personal way. Why? Because too often we learn about Jesus, but never take the right steps to really get to know him. In his straightforward style and solidly biblical approach, Derek Prince explains how it should be the goal of every single believer to get to know Jesus personally. And because this is such an important goal, we want you to have a copy of Derek's classic audio CD teaching, That I May Know Him, at no charge. Simply request your free copy when you call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Make this your goal, to know Jesus Christ personally. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of That I May Know Him securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being with us. We're here on this Friday wrapping up this big, beautiful series called What is Truth by Derek Prince. And Derek has been teaching us about how truth forces a response. It also forces us to understand the counterfeits, the false, the things that are not truth. In our last segment, Derek talked about how Satan can produce counterfeit miracles, and he also talked about how Satan's deceptions do not restrain lawlessness or change our character. This is one of the ways we can know truth. Let's listen now as Derek continues with this list of ways we can know the truth.
Notice what Paul says about these people who accept this deception. They perish because they refuse to love the truth. You see, ultimately, it's a decision of the will. They refuse. They wouldn't do it. So it's not just a question of intellectual, abstract reasoning. It's a question of the application of our will. How do we respond to the truth? And I say again, and I cannot emphasize it too often, There is no neutrality. If we're going to respond positively, we must love the truth. We must not merely tolerate it or accept it or try to compromise with it. We have to love it. These people of whom Paul warns us perished because they refused to love the truth. Then the fourth point, rejecting truth subjects us to powerful delusion. It says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. What was the reason? The reason was that they refused to love the truth. Refusing to love the truth exposed them to deception. And that's really one of the most amazing statements in Scripture for me. God will send them powerful delusion. Did you realize that? See, God will not tolerate our playing wrong with the truth. If God sees that we're sincere and willing to commit ourselves to the truth, he'll be very patient and very gracious. But if God sees that we've been confronted clearly with the truth, we've seen the real issues, and we're not willing to make a commitment to the truth and to love it, then one of God's most severe judgments on such people is to send them a powerful delusion. That's a judgment of God, but it's a judgment of God upon those who refuse to love the truth. And then, fifth point in commenting on these words of Paul, the real motive for which people reject the truth is that they delight in wickedness. It says, all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. You see, behind all the intellectual smokescreen that people raise about the truth and their intellectual difficulties, the real motivation is they know that God's truth will stop them committing sin and will cause them to lead godly and holy and pure lives, and they don't want to do that. So they reject the truth because of its implications in the way that they will have to live. Let me just restate those 5 points out of Paul there. First, Satan can produce counterfeit miracles. But two, Satan's deceptions do not restrain lawlessness. They do not change our character. Three, these people perish because they refuse to love the truth. There is no neutrality. Four, rejecting truth subjects us to powerful delusion. And five, the real motive for rejecting is that people delight in wickedness. Now let's look at the alternative, the positive. In the next verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, this is what Paul says. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and through belief in the truth. Let me emphasize those two last phrases. Through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and through belief in the truth. Let me point out 4 truths that emerge from that verse there. First of all, everything issues out of God's choice. We thank God for you, brothers, because from the beginning God chose you. Second, in the outworking of God's choice, it's the Holy Spirit who draws us, who sets us apart. It's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that draws us to the place where we're confronted with the truth in the person of Jesus. Third, it's through the Holy Spirit that we are enabled to believe the truth which is revealed in Jesus. We depend on the Holy Spirit for the grace to believe. And the result of believing the truth, fourthly, we are saved. Let me just recapitulate that. Everything issues out of God's choice. In the outworking of God's choice, the Holy Spirit draws us. Third, through the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to believe the truth revealed in Jesus. And fourth, the result is we are saved. Thank God we are saved through the truth. Just let me state in closing those 3 coordinates of truth which have been the theme of my talks this week. First, Jesus. Second, the Scripture. And third, the Holy Spirit. When these 3 are in agreement and in harmony, then we know we have the truth. We can live by it. We can be confident and secure.
You know, what Derek was just talking about is should put such a fear into our lives, a holy fear, because he says that when we reject the truth, we subject ourselves to powerful delusions. There's nothing that scares me more in a holy sense than being deceived. Deceived means you don't see it. It means you're blind to a certain thing. May God keep us from being deceived, from being blind to the truths of God. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
It's possible to call yourself a Christian, but never really know Jesus in a personal way. Why? Because too often we learn about Jesus, but never take the right steps to really get to know him. In his straightforward style and solidly biblical approach, Derek Prince explains how it should be the goal of every single believer to get to know Jesus personally. And because this is such an important goal, we want you to have a copy of Derek's classic audio CD teaching, That I May Know Him, at no charge. Simply request your free copy when you call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Make this your goal, to know Jesus Christ personally. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of That I May Know Him securely online at DerekPrince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we're here on this Friday wrapping up a beautiful teaching by Derek Prince on the concept of truth. Who is truth? What is truth? How do we respond to the truth? To help me process this today in the studio are two fine men. First of all, Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries. It's always great to have him here. And also David Holland, one of the producers of the show and a pastor, scholar, wise man. Guys, thanks for being with me.
Good to see you, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks. Good to be with you guys.
Dick, you've been traveling around quite a bit and meeting with Derek Prince Ministries partners and talking to people. And what are you finding in the lives of people as it relates to the topic that Derek's been teaching us on?
Well, I have had a chance to encounter a lot of people both personally on the road in various parts of the country. And also we're hearing from people. And people are in contact with us through the website and by mail and by phone. And the thing that I would say is that people are really serious about the truth. I think there's a sense that we're in days right now where you better have your ducks in a row. You better know what the truth is. And so not only that, we're encountering people who are serious about the truth, but they're also hungry for the truth. And as you know, that's what Derek Prince Ministries is all about. We're just trying to get people. It's not about Derek. Derek is obviously the centerpiece of what we're doing, but we're trying to direct people to the Word of God so that they can find the truth in the person of Jesus Christ.
You know, I guess we ought to say that one of the reasons that we feel so comfortable talking about and honoring Derek is not just that it's a godly thing, but it's that he's already with the Lord. And so it's not like we're exalting a guy who's alive. We're not trying to buy him a second or third house. You know, it's none of that kind of uncleanness that we've seen in the body of Christ. It really is that he just left us this powerful teaching legacy. We're thankful to him. But the beauty of it is that we can use that and impact people's lives with it without there being a tie to a man who's still alive and can still be exalted. And that, I think, keeps us especially on the clean side, don't you think, David?
Well, that's an important point, yeah. I don't mean to cast aspersions on any other ministry or their motivations at all. It's just that in this case, there is no man's ego to gratify by building a large ministry. The man never had much of an ego to begin with when he was with us, but he's with the Lord now. And so this ministry, its continuation, its growth, its expansion is all and only about getting truth to people like you, because he had a voice, he had a perspective, he had a background. God had done a unique thing in the man. And when it comes through, people get helped. Lights come on and good things happen.
Well, that's true. And Stephen, probably no one knows that. Well, a lot of people know it, but you certainly know it very well, having spent time with Derek and worked on his biography and basically written that in such a fine way. Let me just tell you from our perspective, all of us who hear you on Derek Prince Legacy Radio, you bring so much to the table of your own, your experience and your knowledge base, but you've obviously had an encounter with the truth, and some of that has been in a direct relationship with Derek, but certainly on your own. Tell us how that happened with you. I mean, give us a little insight.
Oh, it's kind of you to ask. You know, I alluded to this in an earlier session together, that one of the things that I, for some reason, just began to pay attention to almost from the beginning of my, you know, conscious life, my thinking life as a young man, was I was keenly aware that people were basically dissatisfied. People were basically unhappy. I grew up in Europe as the son of an army officer, mainly in Berlin. I was keenly aware of the heaviness in people's lives. I wasn't a believer, but I just saw that people weren't happy. And when my mother became a believer
and began to listen to Derek Prince every day, all day. His voice filled our home. I wasn't a believer, but I had this sense that not only had she been fulfilled, but that Derek's teaching was about a fulfilled life, not just happiness and the light and transitory sense, but the deep satisfaction of having a relationship. And I became a believer because I began to accept the truth that there was a God who wanted to have a relationship with me. And I wasn't relationally starved as a young man, but I was hungry for that ultimate fulfillment, that ultimate cosmic sort of relationship. And when I found that, when I became a Christian at the age of 18 and then went to a Christian college, I found the fulfillment. It's almost like a puzzle piece falling into place. It's that filling of the hole in the soul. And you know, you've mentioned my time with Derek. This is to me the mark of a person who really knows Jesus. The Psalms anticipate it. The Gospels fulfill it. It's mentioned time and again throughout the Bible that our souls will be satisfied, that there'll be an answering in our souls. And, you know, we live in a hungry, dissatisfied generation. When I see somebody who says they know Jesus, but they've got a hunger that they're trying to fill with material things or food or drugs or whatever it is, that's not a person who really has that soul-satisfying relationship with Jesus. And I saw that in Derek's life. I saw in his face and his life, as I studied it, as I knew him in Jerusalem, the numerous times I visited him, that he was a man who walked with God, and his soul's cry was answered.
Yeah, and that gave him a standing, I think, to say hard things to the body of Christ, to say hard things to believers. You know, when you're trying to fill stadiums, it really discourages you to say hard things. But he's really bringing us the hard, unvarnished truth, isn't he, Dick?
Yeah, and I think the place he ends up today is really key, and that is, okay, here's the truth. How do we respond to it? And, you know, one of my favorite books is Francis Schaeffer's book, How Should We Then Live? That's the question, you know. How we have the truth, now how should we respond to it? It will, as Derek said, ultimately impact how our destiny works out. So I think we ought to take people there, Stephen.
Well, that sounds great. We've got about a minute and a half. Why don't, again, Dick, you take us to prayer, and then Dave, you close us. How's that sound?
Father, we come to you and we thank you first and foremost for the truth revealed in Jesus Christ. Lord, it has impacted our lives and it continues to impact us. So we think of the scripture in 2 Peter 3 where it says, what sort of people ought we to be? And Lord, we want to be those people who are full on following you, completely committed to you. Lord, you've said in other parts of your scripture that your eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth looking for those who are completely committed to you. We commit ourselves to you this day and to the truth that you have revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, as we are here mindful of the unique work you did in Derek Prince's life and in the life of this ministry that he founded, Father, I want to thank you especially for the people who support this ministry, Lord, with their finances, with their prayers, with their encouragement. Father, this ministry is being used by you to touch people. Thank you so much for those that you've raised up to support it and to bless it and to be a part of it. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Guys, thanks again for being with me.
It's always great to be with you, Stephen. And let me say again, we really appreciate what you're doing here.
Oh, you're very kind.
Amen to that. That's
you're
right.
You're very kind. You know, listen, I just believe that a teaching like the one we've heard throughout this week just has to be heard over and again. And so you need to log on the website at derekprince.org where you'll find this teaching and so much else besides. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, join us again on Monday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to ask for your free copy of Derek's powerful CD, That I May Know Him. All you need to do is call us toll free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Call now and request your free and postage paid copy, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your free CD when you visit us online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.